Thank you very much, David. That was incredibly disciplined. I'm expecting a similar high standard from the rest of our panellists. I'm going to crack on and introduce the very next one. Rod Maddock is an academic who has had a lot of time out of academia doing other stuff, most notably and most recently, he had a long stint at the Commonwealth Bank of Australia where he was head of group strategy. He has returned to his blistering array of academic qualifications. Presently, he's the Vice Chancellor's Fellow and Professor at Victoria University, Adjunct Professor of Economics at Monash University. He continues to be a Director of CEDA and President of the Economic Society of Australia, brackets, Victoria, close brackets. Now, he is going to be talking to us today, I believe, about how organisations and corporates can engage in public policy debates. You have 10 minutes, Rod.
More quickly. Thank you, Annabelle. I mainly intend to talk to you with my Economic Society hat on, although as an academic, we actually have a business policy forum at Monash, which has been heavily involved in a lot of these debates. Graham Samuel and Stephen King, a few people like that, work on these issues as well. Recently made submissions to the Financial System Inquiry, Harper Inquiry, just finished one on superannuation, did one to the Productivity Commission's report into infrastructure. So heavily involved in making submissions. And the reason for that is we think it's a really good thing to do. I'm going to talk to you about just make three points, I hope, in my talk. The first is that I really do think it's important to be involved as a citizen in public policy and in the policy debate in your country. The second one, I want to just talk briefly about how to be effective if you're going to actually, once you've decided to engage, how do you actually do it effectively? The third thing I'm going to talk to you about is how do you manage the risk of being involved, of being politicised, being marginalised, being running down your profession, degrading your profession, I guess is the way of putting it. So I'm going to talk about those three things. Why be involved, how to do it, and how to manage the risks of doing it. The first point on why you should be involved in public policy debates is that I think we all, as citizens, should be involved in how a country is run and how it's developed. You may disagree, but it just seems to me that's one of the responsibilities in a democracy. I've just come back from two weeks, in Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh, trying to help the Vietnamese government do some reforms of their financial system. And it is bloody hard when people don't share common background, common approach, common standards and data-driven approach to policy. So we actually start from a really good base, I think, as David said. We do have a strong policy framework in Australia, but I do think it's very important for you and for our groups to be heavily involved in these things. The reasons are pretty straightforward, why we should be involved as opposed to every other citizen. We know a hell of a lot. You are really wise. You know, that old, very old-fashioned term, you know, wise, just seems to me that because of your work, because of your expertise, you just understand a lot of stuff that most other people don't. And it's very important for the country that that sort of material gets into the public debate. You hide your light under the bushel, and the politician doesn't actually get access to it. When you work with politicians, and I spent a few years in the Premier's department here, politicians are actually entrepreneurs. They're actually trying to balance interests and find ways through issues and problems. And if they just have views coming from one side, from one set of viewpoints, then they've got no ground to move. It's really important that we actually have a robust debate and that all the important points of view are represented. That lets the politicians then try to make a balanced and sensible judgment. And so having some group not involved, at one stage I was actually Chief Economist of the Business Council of Australia, and we also thought it was really important to have the business community out there arguing a very strong business position. Because if you don't do that, then it makes it much harder for the government to come to a balanced position on what might happen with policy. So I just really think it's important that all the important points of view be represented. You've got deep professional skills. Most of the people you work with as public servants won't know nearly as much as you do about many, many things. They'll be good at talking to ministers, writing policy briefs, analysing policy information, but they actually don't have the deep skills that you have as actuaries and that my group have from our economics background. I really think that you'd probably underestimate that or perhaps overestimate the extent to which the public servants that you're working with do actually have the similar sort of information and knowledge that you have. And I've just come from a debate about the budget for the Economic Society today at lunchtime. And again, it was just really interesting there, seeing how few people really understood the saving investment balance in Australia and where we're up to with those sorts of issues. So even there in a professional forum, there was, I thought, a deficiency of information about, or deficiency of understanding of some of the facts. So don't underestimate how many facts you know and how few other people understand them. It's a really important point to actually put that factual debate and wisdom and judgment into the policy discussion. Policy is a lot worse if you don't get involved. As I said, governments have to make decisions. One of the things that you learn, I guess, in business and in government is that you almost never got all of the information that you need. You might have 3 years' data. You probably trade all your students to use 20 years' data and to calculate probabilities. But, wow, who in business has got more than 3 years' data? Every corporation I've ever worked in changes the corporate structure after 3 years and all of the information flow changes. So the idea of getting consistent long-term data is really unusual in the policy debate. So, inside government and corporations. So you're working in an environment where these people have to make decisions and they're almost always poorly informed and they know they're badly informed. So trying to figure out how to make good policy in that sort of environment and having people like you who do have a lot more of the facts not engaged worsens the quality of policy debate in Australia. Now, very often when you're involved in these debates, the government will ignore you. Economic Society has this all the time. Professional economists have this all the time. We tell the government what we think is the right thing to do and they say bugger off. And so it's annoying and it's frustrating. But they've got to try and balance a range of interests and figure out the way forward, a path through the mess of interests. So you often don't get the particular solution that you're going for, and you have to live with that. You'll win some, but hopefully, gradually, we iterate towards a much better solution for the country. Switching to the issue of how to be effective, the most important thing is actually to build relationships. People in government don't trust the Johnny-come-latelys who are just trying to push their particular viewpoint. You actually have to build a relationship with these people. Very often you actually have to educate them. And that means you have to talk to them quite regularly. They'll want to understand, well, why do we think this, or why does the government think that, or how do I make an argument about such and such? And so the process of building a relationship with policymakers and with public servants and educating them is really fundamental to this process of having people understand how to think about the things that you think about. The other thing, of course, is as a society, if you want to be in this place, you're going to have to be persistent. We just heard from David some things which are in the plan for the moment, but I really think the important thing is you actually are still doing the same thing in 5 years' time. You really need to be engaged, and people have to get used to having you in the debate and coming to you for points of view. So I think that one of the things that professional societies often do is they can coalesce around a particular issue, the financial system inquiry or something else, disasters. But the idea of being continually in the public debate, being known by the policymakers and by the politicians as someone they can, group they can go to for particular sorts of information is really important. It requires persistence. So if you're going to follow this strategy, David, very strong advice is to make sure that you persist with it. I'm going to talk to actuaries about managing risk. That's pretty good, isn't it? There's obviously risk to any professional society which engages in policy. Sometimes someone is going to misrepresent exactly what you said and hold that up and say, well, the actuaries told me this is what I had to do or this is what I should do. And that's a very big risk for every professional society. What it means, I think, is you've got to think about how to manage the risk, and a few sort of basic principles. The first one is to try to engage as openly and transparently as possible. So the idea of actually working on a number of policy papers and having them be known and disseminated and available to everybody is a really good place. Being open and transparent means that anybody says something stupid about what your viewpoint, then it can easily be refuted by reference to the underlying documents. Be fact-driven. Again, that's probably much easier for you to accept than for a bunch of economists, let me tell you. So try to make sure that you base everything you do in fact. People might interpret it differently, but at least if you've got the common shared fact base, it's easier to have a sensible conversation. Find common ground within the society, process David talked about. If you're going to write policy papers, you're going to have some process of getting through the organisation and having you all think, well, that's a reasonable position. You won't all agree with every position taken by the Institute, but it's something that you're going to have to work through and have everybody have their say and take time. It's slower, but you finish up with a much more much more acceptable position for the professional society. You don't want to have a breakaway from the society because people disagree with the particular position you've taken on something. So work for getting some consensus, shared views, even though, and some people are going to have to give up and just say, well, I would love if they actually said something more, but I'll accept that that's all that the membership is willing to agree. Be balanced. Talk to all the parties. You can't have your favourites. You actually, as a professional society, you have to talk to all the parties and have to educate them all. The staffer for the minister at the moment may well turn out to be the treasurer in 3 or 4 years' time. Building those relationships and building them across the parties is really fundamental to actually having this policy approach. And finally, avoid getting involved in horse trading. Don't do backroom deals. You probably don't smoke, David, but don't get involved in smoke-filled rooms, please. Always in the open, transparent and fact-based. Thank you very much.